The episode you're about to listen to is a special edition of The Startup Show, recorded during Grit Daily's live event at South by Southwest. Here we have an expansive range of topics and featured experts from various industries. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Grit Daily podcast live here at South by Southwest in beautiful Austin, Texas. I am here with some of my favorite human people and a virtual robot dog. And my name is Anne Ahola Ward. I am a Grit Daily columnist and tech pundit. So excited to welcome all of you here today. We have Emily Ullman, Alex Porter, and Tony Parisi, who you, I'm sure, already know, but we'll get to know a little bit more on this podcast. So my first question is going to be a softball. What has everybody been enjoying here at the conference so far other than the bar?
Alex Porter here, CEO of Modtech Labs. I love having the conversation about how AI is not evil. I really am enjoying, being a piece of the education and the opportunity for people to see what the wonderful things are that it's bringing to the world. The tools and the function and the massive creativity that is being spurred by these tools. So I love that piece.
This is Emily Ullman, and I am an editor for AR Insider, also chief media officer for Hopscotch Interactive, actually. And you know that the thing that I'm most excited about is seeing all my friends here. And I would say, other than that, the second thing is that at a lot of these conferences, we end up talking about sort of the technology itself, and we really get deep into the nuts and bolts. But what I'm loving about this is, and I think it's the kind of overlap with film, for example, is that I feel like we're having deeper conversations about the ethics. I feel like the empathy machine is up for me while I'm here, and that so these really deep use cases and beautiful things that people have made are the thing that I'm enjoying the most.
Awesome. What about you, Tony? I know you only got in last night.
I only got in last night, but what I'm already enjoying is that I think this is my 9th South By in a row. And I've come here every year to talk about technology from the point of view of being at a technology company. This is my first South By where I'm here as an artist and a content creator. I'm playing a music show tonight, as well as doing a couple of talks at South By Official this week. One of them is about my big music project I have, which we want to unpack today if we have time. So I think it's really cool to view this for the first time coming in as an artist instead of someone with a bag of technology that I'm trying to sell to other people.
As someone who has a bag of technology she's going to sell to you later, I do think the XR show floor really impressed me. I walked it yesterday and saw so many amazing world-impacting type projects. I mean, the Holocaust experience was the biggest draw for people. You couldn't get in.
Haven't even gone there yet.
Yeah.
I can't wait. So after my talk tomorrow, I'm going to go spend 3 or 4 hours there, hopefully.
But to me, it showed, this is reflective of what's going on in the world, that these content creators are seeing VR as a way to build, as Emily's point, to build empathy, which I think is fantastic, because many would believe the opposite is true of VR. And to those I say, you haven't really done it. Yes, we get it. You've done Beat Saber. But there's a lot going on in the industry that it's not that. But one of the other exciting things is that I got to use Emily's Apple Vision Pro. I hadn't seen it yet. And woo, I have to ask, who here has tried it? I'm assuming all of you, but I'm not trying to shame anyone.
I tried it briefly. It is still quite heavy, and I find it charming in a lot of ways. I'm excited that it opened up a new audience for VR. I am also looking forward to more content that is of a wider variety.
Yeah, I'll double down on that. So I got my Vision Pro. It showed up about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. I was going to be one of those people who pre-ordered it, but it turned out that it would have shown up when I was on a month-long trip in Mexico, so that would have been kind of useless, and I didn't want to just spend that much money and have it sitting around or have to have someone grab it for me, whatever. So I waited, and I finally got it at the end of February, and I think it's fantastic. It's everything I've been dreaming about for a device. Yes, weight is an issue right now. Clearly, price is an issue. And what Alex was just saying, and alluding to at least, is the 3D immersive content on there is still kind of catching up. I really feel like it's maybe circa 2018, Oculus level content still, the full 3D stuff, but everything that's 2.5D, the user interface, the way everything's spatialized, the onboarding, the UX is a dream. It's everything that everyone should have been designing for years. And quick story, I was at a party in San Francisco, a friend's birthday party. Her husband is a DJ, but he also works at Apple. And his colleague from Apple was there, and they're both in the design division. I met the lead UX designer for the Vision Pro, and I was fanboying all over this guy for like a solid hour. His name is Rich. And he said, what do you like about it the most? And I said, what I like about it the most is I put it on and it neither exceeds nor doesn't meet my expectations. It's literally the way this thing should work when you put on a device like that in terms of access to the menus and everything else. So I've been in there just throwing windows up left and right, putting my Spotify up, my own music, and they're listening to that while I'm searching maps and then looking Wikipedia pages and sending text messages. And I'm like, all right, it's a computer on my face. It's so cool.
Have you done the personas yet?
Yeah, mine looks like crap, let me tell you right now.
Did you see the guy?
Yeah, I got to work on that one.
That his chair got caught in the back, and so he has like a really, really rockin' mullet. And the internet voted, and he's never changing it, but... I haven't done the persona yet, but I know, Emily, you said you did a call.
I did, yeah. So I did about an hour-long call, and this was really insightful about the weight issue that Alex brought up. So I had my Apple Vision Pro on, and it was finally the moment that I had to spend like an hour and a half uninterrupted hanging out in there. And so I was going in with a friend to chat with the personas, talking to Bart Denny. And what happened, though, was the persona part was cool. And I have to say, the thing that I liked so much about it was the spatial audio. So here, Bart is even instructing me. So this is the other thing, is that you kind of need to go in and have your hand held just a little bit. So I know that the UX is there, but I really still feel like, you know, having somebody walk you through it or a friend to sort of be like, hey, no, check this out, check this out. The social element, which is one of the things I love most about VR, XR, et cetera, was really on point for this one. So anyway, we were chatting and I was able to move him around and place his voice wherever I wanted to in the scene, because I was like, dude, I can only hear you in my left ear. What's going on? I realized he was to my left. He said, no, just drag me to the middle. And suddenly I had stereo audio.
Wow.
And so that was cool. And then I was imagining, right? And then I was imagining having my, you know, workplace conversation, or I was imagining having, you know, multiple people in the room. And that was a real light bulb moment for me. I would have to say, though, that the big shock came when I then took the Apple Vision Pro off and I looked in the mirror. You guys, I had black eyes. So the weight had been pressing on my cheekbones. And so I literally had black eyes, and I called over to Apple right away.
Did you? Yeah, you were like, Am I in trouble?
Yeah, I was like, I'm in trouble. I was like, this is serious VR face, guys. Like, this is beyond, you know, mask face. This was like eye socket bruising. And so anyway, everybody who had spent more time in it, I connected with some women in VR, and they were like, oh, you definitely have the wrong fit. So that was cool. Yeah. Was like, okay, with the right fit, you're good. But now I realize this is why they're having problems, because if you have to get so many people fitted so well, That's tricky, guys. That's tricky. So
did
that's
you contact
all.
Apple, you said?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, did they respond?
Yeah. So I went in and I got, I'm onto my third light shield now because they didn't have the right size. Anyway, I don't want to carry on about it, but just that this is, these are baby steps to them figuring out when they're going to be, you know, smooth sailing. Yeah.
Well, I was impressed with it, but I was also annoyed with it. And keep in mind, this is a social setting. I was tired, end of the night. I didn't really have like a controlled setting, which is ideally what you want. But I found my eyes after about 10 minutes were really tired. And I couldn't get my glasses on. I have astigmatism, so I'm like squinting as I'm trying to. So I think anyone with visual impairments is going to struggle with the first rev at least.
Yes.
But... it was pretty intuitive, though. The hand gestures, that made sense. I mean, it's not like the hand controllers were hard, but, you know, you're clicking button. Like, there's a learning curve, but there was really no learning curve on the gestures. Like, the haptics were flawless, which I appreciated. But I just, I'm not there yet in terms of wanting to purchase it. I think it's going to take another couple revs. I just, as being an ex-Apple person and owning a lot of historic Apple things, and I have a Newton message pad, 2100 with the post-factory upgrade that still works, by the way. You never buy the first rev of a new product in a new product line. It's just, or a car, by the way, is sort of my personal belief. But I will happily use all of the Apple Vision Pros I can find. But aside from that, you know, you guys are all just such industry titans that I would like to hear from you what you think is the hot stuff. What's the hot goss right now? Because I'm kind of more of a looky-loo. Like, I wander in and I wander out, and I just love the people in the industry, which keeps me coming back. And I love the technology, but you know, our audience has access here to some real intelligence. So no pressure, but tell everyone what they need to know.
Sure. So I can jump in on this. Where we sit, MonTech Labs is an automated content generation and optimization platform. So we are a tool. We are middleware. We do not make the content. We actually are just sort of the engine that revs up the content that has been captured, and then we output for where it's being played back. So we make sure that it's optimized for whatever headset, screen, monitor, variation of, you know, experience that we our clients are looking to get into. So we've worked a lot in virtual production. Virtual production is an interesting intersection of a lot of these technologies coming together in a way that you have like staunch production people, and then you have game engine folks, right? You have real-time content and film production coming together. And it's a very interesting culmination of things. It's also created a lot of sort of start and stop. But what we're seeing, you know, this is several years after the beginning, the very beginnings of virtual production. What we're seeing now is that some people are calling it VP 2.0, if you will. I think this is the day and age of tooling. We're really excited, you know, obviously for where we sit, we, you know, are a little sliver of the overall workflow and, you know, end production, but it's really important. You cannot play back content on a giant wall if it is not optimized for the playback. You will get all kinds of stutters and frame drops and issues. And so we're seeing that people are realizing these little things that cost a lot of time and money are worth investing in tooling for. And so that's something interesting, because that's a big, I think, mental shift in the industry. And we saw very similar things when we were in XR for 5 years prior to this. And it's really awesome to be able to sort of, you know, line those things up in my mind about how this sort of iterated for AR and VR in the early days. And then we saw everyone starting to do platforms and tooling, and we're like, okay, cool. And we're seeing the same thing happening in virtual production now.
You.
Whoa. Me.
All right. Yeah, no one wants to follow.
Yeah,
I don't know if I can follow.
I know, seriously, it is a tough act to follow. I'm going to shift gears a little bit, but yes, I'm wildly interested to see where that's all going to go, Alex, and love to hear more about what you guys are doing. From my side, I feel like last year was the year, once again, that VR and the metaverse might have died. And then the Vision Pro came along. I mean, so what was going on last year was AI just took the oxygen out of the conversation completely. That's all anybody could talk about. And so I think if Apple, and this is not to keep going on about the Vision Pro, but if they had not come in with this device now, I think we would start to see MetaQuest 3s becoming doorstops and people starting to really forget, honestly. So I like to see the renewed reinvigoration of this industry. And I'm now just really waiting with bated breath to see, how is Google going to step in? What is Sam? I hear Samsung's working on something. I don't know anything because I'm not inside anymore. I quit my day job last summer. I don't do this anymore for a living. So I'm kind of on the sidelines, as, again, doing content, watching this going, what's going to happen? Is Microsoft going to sit on the sidelines and just, you know, do Azure and hope someone else has got the device? Are they going to jump back in? Magic Leap's got all this IP. What's going to happen with that? Is someone just going to grab it and, you know, finally, you know, do something with it? So I think it's a really interesting time for XR this year. And the content creation has continued unabated and it's been good, but it was, again, sputtering because all of this investment and attention was in this other area last year. So now with, I think, the renewed interest on the hardware side, and we will see new players coming in, I think that's going to be good for anyone who's been making content for XR. And I personally plan on doing immersive stuff with my music and everything else I'm doing now. I'm definitely going to make immersive content for the Quest and the Vision Pro. But I might not have been thinking about doing that if it hadn't been for Apple getting into the game now.
Okay, so that is actually kind of a little bit of what I wanted to talk about also is a little bit looping back to Apple Vision Pro, because I do think it is the big thing happening so far this year for us. Now, a couple of things about that is that you would think, great, we have all of this content that we've already had from these other platforms, these other headsets. However, Apple Vision Pro presents a new problem, which is that if you had jaggedy, artifacty content, if you had low poly count, if you had all these things, and suddenly you're putting it in a super high-res device, you're realizing maybe you didn't actually think about the future when you were creating your content, which is just a push for all those content creators to remember that you always need to try to go as high-end as you can. You are future-proofing what you're doing. Second of all, Apple Vision Pro for me, the moment that I realized what the power of this was is when I realized that there is a customer lifetime value to every Apple consumer that has owned Apple products since I was a little kid up until now. And this is basically unifying all of the ecosystem for me. And so what I loved was it was the first time I didn't have to struggle into, you know, here's my Windows 10 and here's my PC and here's all of my different things that I'm trying to do. I mean, other than these, you know, standalone devices, I think that we've gone through a difficulty in getting adoption because people just felt like it was too hard. And now we have a device that even my mom and my dad can put on and they feel more or less comfortable in it. So it just, I think that it opens up the consumer base tremendously. And also it paints the picture also to the enterprise that, hey, take this seriously. I think they're going to actually invest in this again. So those are my takeaways.
My biggest beef with the VR XR headset game has been that there's no cyclical economy, right? The reason that Sony was actually so successful is because they already had an ecosystem. And what I've struggled with, because we were in it and now we're a little tangential to it, what I've struggled with is that it's really hard when your consumers are having to buy a new device and their last device has been sunset. There's no resale value. It's really challenging because the cross-compatibility, because the content tools and the developer tools are not really there for the content to have the longevity. How do people even know how to build for the next version, right? And so I think that there is a couple of things that have to come together for this to be a more successful launch of a headset than we've seen in the last few years, right? And I think a piece of that is the tooling so that content can have that longevity. And then I think a piece of it is also embedding those cyclical things like resale value of hardware devices and more inclusive pricing and more expansive offerings across different things. And I am excited about the fact that a lot of the Apple tooling and what's on the headset now is actually really focused on functional work, right? I think that we're all kind of looking at what that next head-mounted display, what does it really look like to have that and work in that and function with that being a part. I use multiple monitors. I'm totally into the idea of having it more accessible and easier and gesture-based. And I think that that's what's going to start bringing more of the users to their platform. And I hope that we can see some of the other stuff change as well.
That's got me thinking about one thing, Anne, if it's okay. I don't want to hijack the conversation. But there's a software side to this, too, around interoperability, which clearly is near and dear to my heart. And so what I love is now there's all these new things happening like on blockchain with NFTs and Bitcoin ordinals now, if you're following all that. And when people publish 3D content for those, it's in the GLTF file format. It's in a file format that I helped create that is sort of like JPEG. So you're creating assets that can live in any of these systems and versus spending all your time in one game engine like Unity, place I used to work, or Unreal. And having to somehow port those assets. So there's a whole other side to this, which is like, investing in the right content formats that I think is the flip side of what you're talking about too. And it's you have a healthy ecosystem when people invest in content in those standards instead. So I'm excited about that part of it. That's something, a file format we created 10 years ago before anything, assets were on a blockchain are now being used for that. That's a testament right there. So I think it's related to your point, Alex.
Absolutely. I agree fully. Interoperability is a multifaceted beauty of epic proportions.
Excellent. Okay, we have time for one more question. I am a futurist, and I know all of you are too. So give me your moonshot 5-10 year prediction. I don't like year predictions. I think as a futurist, you have to look further. And in any field of technology, not limited to XR. And if you can't think of one, just tell me, you know, what's your perfect Sunday?
Well, I'll jump in. Okay, so here I'll play a little bit of counterpoint to this because I think we always think about how everything in the future is going to be so marvelous with technology. And I think that what we're feeling right now as a society, I'll zoom out just a little bit, is that authenticity really matters. And experiences, of course, we've been talking about this for a very long time, but that because we're entering into a new realm of so much information coming at us that we don't really recognize as real, and that may blend for our kids and those generations. They may not really care if it's real. But for us, of course, we do care. And so I think 5, 10, even 20 years into the future, I think that we are going to see different value systems around our experiences as humans. And so that we will actually cherish these in-person gatherings even more. And that the technology enables us to do amazing things, but it doesn't always replace them. So
I agree fully. Yeah, it's interesting thinking about it from that perspective. My kids are currently 7 and 9. And so, you know, sort of like fast forward when they're, you know, in their 20s, like what does their world look like? It's a really fun and interesting concept, right? I know Gen Z already shifted massively to, you know, a share economy or trade economy, right? They're looking at all of these ways that they can reduce waste and be more, you know, kind to the earth and create more of those authentic connections. I think I really do think that that's a massive value of Gen Z. And so what is Gen A really going to look at? And I think it's going to be fascinating because all of, you know, a lot of the Gen A kids, they're digital natives, right? They're growing up with this in their face, in their house every day. We were told not to sit too close to the TV, and they have their tablets in their face every day. And so I look at things like that, and I will tell you, like, for my kids, they're an entrepreneurial family. I see them just literally like spitballing ideas every day. And I'm like, this is their life. They're literally just going to be able to iterate almost infinitely on ideas and test them out and validate them before they even get to a point of like execution. And so I think there's going to be a lot of really fun, interesting things around how do you experiment with a wide variety of stuff, not just creativity, not just, you know, I mean, honestly, my brain goes to like business models. There's going to be all kinds of crazy things that we've never even thought about. Buying, trading, like, I don't know. It's going to go wild. I think the digital natives are going to be fascinating to watch grow up.
The digital natives have gone wild.
Exactly.
There's no more lemonade stands.
New reality show.
Yeah.
So I'm glad Emily kicked this off and got me thinking about reframing this toward values a little bit. And Alex, you kind of continued that spirit anyway. Because I was going to jump to a technological answer, which is, to me, like in that 5 to 10 year time frame, Wikipedia is going to be holograms. Like everything we do will be fully immersive. Like you're on a Star Trek episode, or I'm watching Star Trek Discovery right now. I'm in the middle of binging that because I missed that one a while back. And, you know, just information around these people, and they're working very fluidly with it. And of course, you know, I'm using this Vision Pro right now. So I'm like, yes, I am a cyber superhero in this headset. And so I think intuitive access to all the information we have, but that's the technological vision. But then to what end? Which is why, again, I'm glad you led this session a little bit off here, Emily, because it really needs to be about values and what we're trying to do. So hopefully we're going to do that to all make our lives better and the world a better place. And I think a big part of that is having access to all the information we can in the best possible way. So yeah, envision 5 to 10 years in the future, and hopefully we're doing that digital magic with all this cool new tech to the ends that the two of you were just talking about.
Excellent. Well, a lot of food for thought here. Definitely my mind is buzzing. And on that note, we should get buzzing, you know, get to that bar here at the Grit Daily House. So thank you everyone for tuning in. And this has been your XR episode of Grit Daily Live.